Parshas Pekudei, so last Sedra in Shmos, and it basically speaks about the completion and erection of the Mishkan. The Haftorah, which again is what we have been doing this year, connecting the Haftorah to the Sedra. The Haftorah is taken from Malachim, and it speaks about the completion of the Beit HaMikdash, which is obviously a very strong tie between the Sedra and the Haftorah. The Haftorah starts, "Vatishlam kol ha-melocha asher asa ha-melech Shlomo Beit Hashem." All of the work was finished that Shlomo did on the Beit HaMikdash, and the actual erection and the bringing in of all of the vessels into the Beit HaMikdash took place. Now, there are also some other side connections. Besides the main general connection, there are other connections. One is in the Sedra, it speaks about bringing the Aron into the Holy of Holies. In the Haftorah, it speaks about the fact that Shlomo HaMelech brought the Aron that had been in various places, and he brought it into the Beis HaMikdash. In the Sedra, it says that when the Mishkan was finished, and everything was put into place, Vayimolei ha'anan es ha-mishkan, the cloud filled the Mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter when the cloud filled up the Mishkan. And in the Haftorah, it also says that a cloud descended and filled up the Mikdash in Arafel, and Shlomo HaMelech noted that God chose to dwell within this fog inside the Mikdash. Another connection is that the Sedra speaks about when Moshe Rabbeinu saw they had completed all the various vessels of the Mishkan and the structure of the Mishkan properly, he blessed them. He said to them, "Avinoam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, Umase Yodeinu Konenu Aleinu, Umase Yodeinu Konenehu, Yehi Ratzon Shetishra Shinu V'Maisi Yadeichem." He gave them a bracha that God's presence should dwell in their handiwork. And the Haftorah also speaks about the bracha that Shlomo HaMelech gave the people upon the completion of the Beis HaMikdash. But I think that there, beside all of these connections, there's even a greater connection where the Haftorah is a completion and a supplement to what the Sedra speaks about. In order to understand that, I want to make the following point. The Mishkan and the Mikdash patterned themselves very much after creation. It's brought down that all of the various vessels in the Mishkan and subsequently in the Beis HaMikdash were a microcosm. They were a small model of the universe. In fact, it said when you went into the Mishkan and the hooks in the coverings above looked like stars in the sky. It looked like you were walking into a planetarium. So it was like a little world. And each of the vessels represented a different part of the world. And alternately, each of the vessels represented a different part of a human being's makeup, all the systems of the body. The shulchan represented a digestive system, and so on. Each of the things represented different systems of the body, but that's because man is also a microcosm. Man is also a model of the universe. So the Mishkan, being a model of the universe, was also a model of man. And there are many things that are similar between the creation of the world and the building of the Mishkan. I'll mention a few of them to you. The Kli Yakar mentions that when the world was created, God used two of his attributes, two of his names, to create the world. Originally, God wanted to create the world with the attribute of justice, right? Bereshis bara Elokim. Elokim is midas hadin. And in the end, shitafim erachamin. He decided to add mercy to the justice. And that is why it says later, v'yomatzos Hashem Elokim. Hashem is midas harachamin, mercy, and God combined the two. So there's a world of din and a world of rachamin. So the world is created with a combination of justice and mercy. Now, who built the Mishkan? The two main players in the building of the Mishkan were Bezalel and Aliyah. Bezalel came from the tribe of Yehuda, and Aliyah came from the tribe of Dan. Yehuda is the same letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei, with an extra Dalet. That is God's name of Rachamim. And Dan is Midas Hadin, is justice. So we have the two people building the Mishkan represent the two qualities of God, of Rachamim and Din. Who built the Beis HaMikdash? Shlomo HaMelech, who came from Yehuda, again, the Midah of Rachamim, and Hiram, who according to many, the Pasuk says, was a Jew whose father was from Naphtali. His mother was from Naphtali, and his father was from Dan. So here again, we have Hiram from Mate Dan. According to this, Hiram was not a non-Jew or a convert. Hiram was the person, the artisan that Shlomo enlisted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Vayikach es Hiram Mitzor. He went to Tzor and he got Hiram, who was a ben Ish Almona, who mimate Naphtali, va'aviv Ish Tzori Chorish Nechoshes. And they say that his father was from Mate Don. So it comes out that Hiram was from Don, and Shlomo is from Yehuda, exactly like in the Mishkan. We have Don and Yehuda, Din and Rachamim, working together to make the Mishkan and the Mikdash. This is a Hiram who was the son of an Almana. The Torah says specifically, this was not the king of Tzor. It says in the Sedra, Vayichal Moshe Tamalocha, in the end of the building of the Mishkan, it uses the terminology Vayichal, which is similar to what? At the end of creation, what does it say? Vayichulu Hashomayim V'Horetz. Another connection the Kli Yoker says is the way that God created the world was that he let it expand and expand until he said enough, stopped it from expanding. And that's why God is called Shakai. Sha'omar li'olamo dai. He said to the world, enough. He let it expand and expand up to a point and then stopped its expansion. How was the Mishkan built? The people brought nedavos, they brought contributions, more and more than was necessary until Moshe Rabbeinu had to make an announcement, stop. It's a similar thing. The world was created in a way that expanded and expanded until God stopped it, and the Mishkan was created in a way that expanded and expanded until Moshe stopped it, and the Kli Yoker says, what was the purpose of that? To teach us self-control. We are also a microcosm. Human beings, like we said, are a small universe. Just like the universe and its counterpart, the Mishkan, were created in a way that if you didn't put reins on it, you didn't put brakes on, then it could expand beyond what it was proper. So too, a human being has to know that if he doesn't put the brakes on, he doesn't control himself, he can also expand to areas that are improper. So he also has to say stop, enough, and limit himself sometimes. Another thing it says at the end of the building of the Mishkan, it says, Vayar Moshe kol hamalacha. Moshe saw all the work that was done, and it was done properly, and he gave them a bracha. What does it say in the end of creation? Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa. Vehineh tov ma'od. God saw that everything he created was good, and he blessed creation too. Another idea that connects the building of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash with the creation of the world is the fact that when we on Shabbos want to show that God created the world and ceased creating on Shabbos, so we refrain from doing work on Shabbos that represents God not working and not building the world. What works don't we do on Shabbos? The 39 works that went into building the Mishkan. Why? Because those are the works that vis-a-vis us represent creation. Where did we create a world? When we built the Mishkan. So the 39 works that went into building the Mishkan are the works that go into creating the world. So that's our creation of the world. We stopped creating on Shabbos to show that God stopped creating. So again, there's a connection between the 39 works that went into building the Mishkan and God's creation of the world. Those are the works that represent creation. And it says specifically that Bezalel knew how to combine the words and letters that went into the creation of the world to build the Mishkan. He needed to know that. Because building the Mishkan was spiritually like building a world. So he had to know the combinations of letters that God used to create the world, because in creating the Mishkan, he was doing, in a small way, the same idea. And therefore, there was a bracha in the end of the building of the Mishkan, both from Moshe and from Shlomo, the building of the Mikdash, and there was also a bracha that God gave the world at the end of creation. He blessed the Shabbos. He gave the Shabbos as a blessing. So we have all these connections between the building of the Mishkan and the Mikdash and the creation of the world. Now, I want to... one idea I saw is that the Rabban Shalom repaid the Mesiris Nefesh of Chur. Chur gave his life to try to stop the building of the golden calf. And since the Mishkan was a kapara for the building of the golden calf, the one most properly fit to build the Mishkan was the one who was the descendant of the one who, the grandson of the one who gave his life for stopping the building of the golden calf. That's why he was invested with all this. Okay, now, I want to extend this connection to the building of the world, creating of the world, and it says there's an argument when the world was created. Rabbi Eliezer holds B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, and Rabbi Yeshua says B'Nisan Nivra Ha'olam. And Tosfos explains that Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, they're both right. The world was created B'Machshava, in thought. It was created in Tishrei. That's why on Rosh Hashanah we say Hayom Haras Olam. Today the world was conceived, but not born. And it was actually created Lamaisa in Nisan. Now that doesn't mean that the world was created two times. It means it was created on two levels. We once went through this. I'm not going to repeat it in length, but just briefly, before, when the world was created, there was no time, but there were different dimensions. So the world was created on two dimensions, a dimension of thought and a dimension of action. In thought, the world was created in justice, that was Tishrei, and in action, in Nisan, which is mercy. Now, it's interesting, when were the Mishkan and the Mikdash erected? The Mishkan was erected in Nisan, and the Beis HaMikdash was erected in Tishrei. So again, we have a connection that just like the world was created at these two times, at these two dimensions, the dimension of Tishrei and the dimension of Nisan, the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, at these two times, one in Nisan and one in Tishrei. Okay, now let me tell you the significance, I think. Now, Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for Malchei Yisrael. Jewish kings start their year in Nisan. In other words, if a Jewish king became a king 30 days before Nisan, when Nisan comes by, at least 30 days, he just starts his second year. He doesn't start his year on the day that he became king. There's a generic time that the year changes in Nisan, so he starts his second year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the dating of kings' years is for Jews is in Nisan. And this is the month that the Jewish people were born. And the world was created for the sake of the Jewish people. And God had tremendous mercy on the Jewish people and did miracles for us and took us out of Egypt. So therefore, the world of action, how God actually brought the world into being for the sake of the Jewish people, that's the creation of Nisan. However, the din, injustice, the way things ideally should be, is the whole world should serve God, not just the Jewish people. And that's the purpose of the Jewish people. They're the action, the means to bring the world to serve God. Ideally, the thought, the original thought was the whole world should serve God. But God brought it about, actually, the means to do it is by creating the Jewish people, and they would bring the world to serve God. So the means, the action, is the Jewish people. That's why the creation of Nisan is the creation that is connected to the Jewish people. And the creation of Tishrei is universal. All human beings pass before God in judgment on Rosh Hashanah, not only Jews. And Rosh Hashanah Tishrei is the new year for all kings, for non-Jewish kings, because it represents the universal non-Jewish world too, not only Judaism. Nisan is the Jewish world. It's the Jewish people. So the idea that the world was created, the machshava, the thought, the goal, theoretical, abstract, is the whole world was created to serve God. Practically speaking, how is that going to come about? By the Jewish people being the emissaries of God to eventually bring the whole world in. Or, Lagoyim, we are a light to the nations of the world to bring them eventually to recognize God and to serve Him. And that is the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei. Now, let's see the two Mishkan and Mikdash, what they represent. The Mishkan was basically for the Jewish people. It was built for the Jews, by the Jews. It was benefited only by the Jews in the desert, far away, separated from the nations of the world. And therefore, the Mishkan was a very Jewish thing. And that was the beginning, the foundation. But, and therefore, however, the tachlis was that the whole world should serve God, right? And what does it say? That the time will come, umalah ha'aretz, deyas Hashem, kamayim liyam lechasim. The world will be filled with knowledge of God like the waters cover the sea. So once one explains what that means is the following, and it fits this idea too. What does it mean like the waters cover the sea? Originally, the whole world was covered with water. That's how the world was created, where the water covered the whole planet. What did God do in order to make dry land? He could have evaporated some of the water, but he didn't. What did he do? He left the water at the same volume that it was. But he made deep crevices in the earth that he called seas. And the water drained off from the land and filled up the seas. But the amount of water in the seas is the exact amount of water that could have covered the whole earth had the seas not been so deep. So what God did is he made the oceans deep, took all the water that covered the planet, let it drain off into the oceans, and made a place for dry land. Okay? Similarly, the world, when it was created, was immersed in a knowledge of God. Water is a symbol of das, of knowledge of God, like Torah. Torah is compared to water. The whole world was enveloped in knowledge of God. But God wanted to leave a place for people to have free choice. So he took all that knowledge of God and he deposited it in deep places, which is the Jewish people. He left it by us because he knew we were on the level to have all that knowledge and still to have free choice. But the rest of the world, had they had that knowledge, it would have taken away their free choice. So he took away the knowledge, deposited it in the Torah, specifically for the Jewish people. When Mashiach comes, and we are to then spread the knowledge of God to the world, we're not going to have to do anything new. We're going to take all that knowledge of God that was deposited by us, which was enough for the whole world, and redisperse it amongst the world. Just like the waters cover the sea. The waters, that's enough water to cover the whole planet, has been deposited in the sea. If you take that water and spread it out, it'll cover the whole world. If you take the waters of Torah that were deposited in depth by the Jewish people, we have the power then to redisperse it and cover the whole world with it. That's the idea. So in any case, so therefore, the Beit HaMikdash was built in Tishrei, and it was consecrated on Sukkot, because Sukkot is the Yom Tov that all the nations of the world will in the future serve God. The Navi says they'll come on Chag HaSukkos and they'll bow down to God, and every year they'll come and celebrate Sukkot together with the Jewish people. Sukkot will be the universal holiday of all human beings. And therefore, this Haftorah, the Haftorah of Pekudei, is also the Haftorah of the second day of Sukkot. Because it fits this idea, the completion of the Beit HaMikdash was something that's universal. It was consecrated on Sukkot, and it has the concept of a universal Yom Tov. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, when he consecrated the Mikdash, prayed that any non-Jew who comes to the Beit HaMikdash and prays for something, God should answer him. So you see that the Beit HaMikdash was Kibesi Beis Tfila Yikarei L'chol Ho'amin. It's a Mikdash for all the nations of the world to come and pray in the Beit HaMikdash and even to bring sacrifices. A non-Jew is allowed to send sacrifice to the Kohan and bring it for him, as long as he brings it for the sake of God. And that could be the reason also why David HaMelech did not build the Beit HaMikdash. Because the Beit HaMikdash had to be something that was universal. And since David HaMelech made a lot of wars against Goyim, he wasn't a universal enough person. And therefore the money, the Abar Benel says, the money that David HaMelech collected from his booty, from the wars that he made, wasn't used in the Beit HaMikdash. Because the Beit HaMikdash had to be a place of peace, a place that united everyone. And the booty from wars, which was a divisive thing, even though it was necessary and it was good, But it was divisive. It didn't represent all the world. It didn't represent the people serving God, but the people who were against God, who had to be fought, that couldn't go into building the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, when the Mishkan was finished, it says Vayichal. It was finished. Right? Just like Vayichulu. Vayichul HaShemayim Va'aretz doesn't mean it was finished completely. It means it was finished at that stage. Now it had to be perfected by human beings. Asher Bara Elokim, God created, imperfect, La'asos, that man should perfect it. But when the Beis HaMikdash was finished, it says Vatishlam, Kol Ha'avoda. Shlemus, perfection. It wasn't just finished, it was perfected. Because the Beis HaMikdash represented the perfection of the Mikdash, the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the means that the Jewish people should be strengthened by the Mishkan and be able to build a Mikdash that would affect the whole world. So the building of the Mikdash that affected the whole world, that was the goal. And the means was the Mishkan. And therefore Shlomo, it says, was called Shlomo, right? Because he was mashlim melecha sheshes yimei bereishis. He completed the work of the 6 days of creation. This was the goal. The goal was there should be a Beis HaMikdash that basically was a place that united all human beings in service of God. Now, what was the thing that was, however, similar? So the Beis HaMikdash served a grander purpose than the Mishkan, but there was something that they had in common. One of the things that was built for the Mishkan was the exact same thing that went into the Mikdash, which was the Aron, Torah. And all the other things could be different. There's a difference between the menorah built for the Mishkan, that was for the sake of the Jewish people, and the menorah, even though it was built the same way in the Mikdash, but it was a different thing. It was a menorah that was made for all peoples. But the Aron, the Luchos, the Torah, is the same for everybody. Everybody has different parts of it. The Goyim have seven mitzvahs. We have 613. Of them, Kohanim have part, Levim have part, women have part, men have part. But the Torah is something that is constant. That's the constant in the Mishkan and the Mikdash. Right? Both in the abstract theory and in the actual practice, the Torah is what is central. And that's why the Meshech Chochmah says, it says by the Aron, by Yach B'tzal HaSharon, B'tzal made the Aron. Why does it say it? He says a very interesting reason. He said every other vessel that was in the Mishkan was eventually, others were made, they were remade, or whatever, by other people in history. There's only one vessel that never was made by anybody else, and it was the same vessel that was in the Beis HaMikdash. It was then put away and will be in the third Beis HaMikdash. That was the Aron. So on that, it could say the Tzal made the Aron forever. All the other ones were made temporarily, and they were replaced, and others were made, or whatever, at various times in history. What? No, but that wasn't one of the kelim that was just put there as a remembrance, but the kelim of the Mishkan, the menorah, the shulchan, those things. And therefore, the Torah, huh? Where is what? The Aron? It's hidden. No, it's not the Vatican. Right, if it's, what's it called, according to Spielberg, right, in any case, it's hidden somewhere on Har HaBayis. And when the Mashiach comes, we'll find out where it is, if the Arabs don't get to it first. In any case, so that is the foundation of everything. The foundation of the Jewish people, the foundation of the world is Torah, and that was the Tzav HaShoveh, the thing that connected both the Mishkan and the Mikdash. It could be for that reason also, it says the Mishkan was enveloped in a cloud. While as in the Beis HaMikdash, it says Arofel, a fog. What's the difference between Arofel and Anan? So I found that the Anan that filled the Mishkan was part of the Anani HaKavod, the Anan that led the people in the daytime, and the Anani HaKavod, they are in fact what filled the Mishkan. The Anani HaKavod was specific to the Jewish people. So the Jewish people, which was represented in the Mishkan, the fact that we have to first build ourselves up, and then we can be an oath to the nations of the world. So that which filled the Mishkan was specific to the Jewish people in Amman. The Arofel, and it says Moshe Nigashu Arofel, that wasn't something specific to the Jewish people. That was something when God gave the Torah, it was a revelation to the entire world. And that Arofel was not part of our Anoni HaKavod, our individual cloud of glory. But it was the Arofel, the fog, that represented God's descending to this world totally. So in the Beit HaMikdash, it was the Arafel that filled the Mikdash, which was universal. And in the Mishkan, it was the Anan that filled the Mishkan, which was specific to the Jewish people.